From the Radio.com sports desk, here's what we know.
Little injury update. Tyreek Hill returned to practice today and is moving around all right, according to Andy Reid. He should play on Thursday. As for Spencer Ware, he's day-to-day with a hamstring injury, so his status will depend on how he responds in the next couple days. Sammy Watkins almost certainly will not play Thursday night. And big surprise here, Eric Berry is listed as day-to-day. Chargers going to be without Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. Going to be going with two rookie running backs on Thursday night. Back to the show.
Another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here to my right, the one, the only Brad Fanning. Back in the studio, it is Nick the Quick Price. We are on Find Another Producer World Tour. The second one we've had this year. I mean, we've been on tour more than Drake in 2018. So Nick is next up to see if he's going to be our new producer. We'll see if he gets the rose like this is The Bachelor. To my right, looking in his finest Patagonia, it is the one, the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today?
Can we take credit for Speck getting a promotion? I mean, I don't think without us that we'd be looking for another producer. It's not like Heist. Like, Heist left us. Speck came with us. Speck gets a promotion. I think that's probably what happened, right?
That is definitely what happened. Coming up in just a bit, we'll catch up with our guy, Jay Binkley. We'll get to the Kansas State hire. They hired a new coach, the replacement for Bill Snyder. We'll also talk about Binkley's very fired up about this no-look pass situation with one Patrick Mahomes.
I think Binkley had way too many energy drinks today.
So we'll talk to Binkley coming up in just a bit. But we want to tell you guys, we are somewhere very, very special. We are at the Community Blood Center. We are at 4040 Main. Their goal today is to get 300 donors and 300 donations. My goal is to drink 300 cups of apple juice. I've already had 7 of them. The front desk, she was looking at me with some kind of animosity, like she wanted to square up about it. So I'm going to slow down and maybe only have 2 per commercial break. But no, we are very happy to be here. If you are capable,
I'm going to try to drink 300 beers, by the way.
I don't think you can do that. If you want to come stop by the Community Blood Center. Donate blood today. It is for a very good cause. We got Chiefs shirts. We got koozies. They got peanuts and pretzels here and Nutter Butters and Sprites, and they got everything you need here at the Community Blood Center.
Yeah, you're good to go. It's the 21st annual Chiefs Blood Drive today. So the hours are 7 to 6. All donors are going to receive a Chiefs design t-shirt. They're going to be entered into a raffle for Chiefs memorabilia, including, and this is a beauty here, C-Dot, a Patrick Mahomes jersey. You think anybody would want that in Kansas City right now?
I think you would want a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Yeah. So come on down and see us at 4040 Main today.
So let's start today's show with this as we really start to get into Chiefs and Chargers. This is where I'm at as we head into the week. I've sat here and I've listened to Brad tell me that I'm hard on the defense. I've sat here and I've looked at the text line, and you guys are saying, cut the defense a break, cut the defense a break. We've had callers that say, cut the defense a break. I'm on Arrowhead Pride. I'm hearing people say the exact same thing. I think we see there are 2 clear lines when it comes to the Chiefs defense. It's when they play good quarterbacks and when they play bad quarterbacks. Now, unfortunately, all the bad quarterbacks they play are at home, and all the good quarterbacks are on the road. So far in the games, we've seen them go up against elite-level quarterback competition, whether it was Brady on Sunday Night Football, whether it was Jared Goff on Monday Night Football. They have cooked the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they're no arguing when it comes to that. 14 touchdowns, 1 interception, over a 110 quarterback rating. The Chiefs have not done a good job against the elite-level, top-flight quarterbacks in the NFL. The Chiefs' defense has done a fantastic job against bottom 10, bottom 12 quarterbacks, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Josh Rosen, whether it's Case Keenum, whether it's Andy Dalton in primetime, who kind of reminds me of Kirk Cousins, and it hurts my heart to say that. The Chiefs have dominated when they've gone up against lesser quarterbacks at home. Fanny, you believe this, that this Chiefs defense is much better at home than they are on the road, right?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely, I do.
So this is a prove-it-to-me kind of game.
Yeah.
I don't know where you was born, but I was born in the state of Missouri, and that's the show-me state.
I hate to admit it, but I was too.
I keep hearing all of this. Well, I think they can. Well, at some point, you got to prove it on the field. The Chiefs have 2 more chances to prove to me that they're a capable defense against good quarterbacks. You got an opportunity this Thursday against Phillip Rivers, who I think is going in the Hall of Fame, and you got an opportunity to do that against Russell Wilson, who I also think eventually will go in the Hall of Fame. If you prove it to me over these next couple of weeks, I'm willing to open up and rehab the conversation. But if Rivers goes out there and cooks this defense, if Russell Wilson on 10 days goes out there and cooks this defense, I'm done. I'm done re-entering the conversation about this Chiefs defense.
Well, so are you trying to tell me that the Bengals defense is good because Rivers, you know, because they did a pretty good job of keeping Rivers under control, you know, when they played him? You know, I mean, he only had threw for 220 yards, 19 to 29. I mean, they got a good – is their defense good? I mean,
I don't watch enough Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, I watched every snap of the Chiefs this year.
My point is that I don't really care I don't care what category you want to put the Chiefs defense in. Are they good enough to win the game? That's really all I care about. That's it. Like I don't care if they give up 642 yards and four touchdowns. Is it good enough to win the football game? Because I think if anybody was to come out and say this Chiefs defense is good, you're wrong. It's not. All right. It's not a good defense. It's not a great defense, but it's also not a bad defense. And the reason I say that is look what happened, you know, last week in the Ravens game. They needed a stop. They forced him into third and long. They got after Lamar Jackson, and Justin Houston forced a fumble. They have done enough to get you get you wins and give you a chance to win. They did the same thing in the Rams game. You know, I know that Rams put up a ton of points, but you have to remember that the Rams scored 21 points off Chiefs turnovers, and the defense actually scored a touchdown in that game. So is it a good defense or great? Absolutely not. But as long as they do enough to win, that's really all I care about. You know, so, you know, you'd like to think that they go in and they hold Rivers to kind of what the Bengals did last week. You know, 19-29, 220 yards, a touchdown and no picks. And his quarterback rating was, what, under 100? Like, I'd be fine with that. But, you know, if we look in the stat sheet and we look like, okay, total defense, rush defense, pass defense, blah, 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 all that stuff, you're not going to like it. What I like is if they hold the team to fewer points than the Chiefs. And if they do that, I'm completely fine with that because we saw a couple of years ago the Falcons had a lousy defense. They got all the way to the Super Bowl and actually should have won that game.
And maybe the difference, maybe this is the way to tack it, is do you trust this defense? I don't have reason to trust this defense against good offenses and good quarterbacks. I haven't seen them time and time again show up. What I have seen is you can move the ball pretty much at will against this team. You can score against this team. And this team's not great at taking the football away against capable offenses. I'm not faulting what they did last week against the Baltimore Ravens. But we can admit that Lamar Jackson's a bottom five passer in the NFL, and the Ravens are a fairly one-dimensional team. Man, that's not what Los Angeles is going to be. You're going to see an offense that I think can spread you out four wide, that's going to be able to exploit your mismatches, whether it's throwing out of the backfield. I'm with you. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a point with this defense that we consider it good, but I do think you have to get to some point in the postseason of do you trust this defense, or is the expectation going to continue to be on this offense? Well, you got to go out there and you got to score 35, you got to score 40 to give yourself a chance to win. At some point, the defense, in my opinion, is going to have to elevate itself to a point where you got to hold a capable offense like the Los Angeles Chargers to 21 points. Do that in this game. That's all I'm asking this defense to do. I'm not saying you got to go out there and give a shutout. I'm saying is I've heard time and time again that this defense is improving. I have yet to see that against a quality, capable quarterback. You're going up against that this weekend against the Los Angeles Chargers. At home, short week, Tony Gonzalez is going to be there with the ceremony. It's a primetime game in Arrowhead. Eric Berry's coming back. There's every reason, I would say, from the intangible standpoint of the Chiefs' defense should get a boost. Let's see it on the field.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's going to play into the defense his hands on Thursday night too is that it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to be chilly. You know, that's not good for quarterbacks, and we'll see how that affects Mahomes, but it's not good for Rivers, and we already know that they've got injuries at the running back position. So I mean, it sets up for the Chiefs to have a really good defensive night. Primetime game, Arrowhead, Tony Gonzalez, all that stuff, but the weather's going to be crummy, and the Chargers are losing a couple of the running backs, and that's really the Chiefs' Achilles heel, is being able to stop the run. I mean, that's the reason why the Ravens were able to stay in that game. So I'm with you. I'd like to see them go out and put up a great performance, but if they do it once, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's who the defense is. I think at this point they are who they are. You know, they're a defense that can get after the quarterback. They can turn you over when they have to, you know, and that's really about it. They're going to give up yards against really good quarterbacks. They're going to score on them, but if they can just hold them down enough, then I'm fine with that, man. I think, and I guess really the big question is, do they have enough to get to the AFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl? And the answer to that, in my opinion, is yes.
I don't know if that answer is yes when it comes to the defense. I think the answer is certainly yes when it comes to the offense. I'm not at the point with the defense.
If things play out the way it should, I mean, that's because everybody's got to come through Arrowhead. We talk about how different this defense is at Arrowhead, and granted, they haven't faced the great quarterbacks like they're probably going to face in the playoffs, but it is at Arrowhead, and they are better at Arrowhead.
Or Thursday, and I guess that was kind of the point. Yeah. So in this game, maybe where I'm at when it comes with this team is it's not just to show it and prove it, I would say, from the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Man, it's a show and improve it with the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. I get called Chargers Dot, and I'll wear that because I picked the Chargers to win the AFC West.
Which is a great nickname, by the way.
Oddly enough, I was actually right about the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
I was just wrong about the Chiefs, that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and it's not even really close between those two teams. But the Chargers are a team that can win 11 games and 12 games. But I think what's always going to be a gap in expectation when it comes to the Chargers of, even in this game in Thursday Night Football, this is a game that the Chargers very rarely win. They have the one crown, I would say, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think we've seen enough of this season to know Pittsburgh can beat anybody. They also can lose to anybody in the NFL. This, to me, when I look at the Chargers, is a very simple, why should we believe in you kind of game? Because I would say the NFL nation as a whole is very split when it comes to the Chargers. Yeah. Either you are firmly on the side of, this is a different team, this team's going to make the playoffs, this team is as dangerous and can beat anybody in the postseason, or I would say the side that you're on, this team still needs to prove it to me. Man, there's no better test than on the road against the best team in the NFL. If you come out here and win this game, everybody is going to take notice to how this team is different, and we got to start talking about the Chargers a lot different if they win this game.
And the weird thing about the Chargers, too, is that they're better on the road than they are at home this year. I mean, that to me is – and I get it, they're playing in some soccer stadium out in L.A., but they've got a home loss to the Chiefs right out of the gate. They lost at home to the Denver Broncos, and they lost in L.A. on the road at the Coliseum to the Rams. And they've been actually a really, really good road team. You know, sooner or later, the Chargers are going to get the Chiefs. I just hope it's not Thursday night. You know, at some point, they're going to get to the Chiefs. But I don't know if it's going to be this Thursday or not, but they are a much better road team. But I'm with you, man. They got to prove it because the Chargers, you know, have the history. And you can say, well, what does last year or the year before have to do with anything else? Well, the one constant in this whole thing and the common thread with the Chargers is the quarterback at Philip Rivers. He's been there since, what, 2003, I think? I mean, he's been around a long, long time. And they haven't had double-digit wins in a long, long time. So does he have enough to get it done this year? I would probably feel different if this game was out in L.A. instead of at Arrowhead. So this game still scares me a little bit. But, yeah, they've got to prove it. I mean, anybody that thinks the Chargers are going to roll in here and take care of business and you're buying into the Chargers because of the winning at Pittsburgh, no, you can't do it because the Chargers are the Chargers, and the common thread is the quarterback.
I would say the other constant, though, if you're talking about from the Chiefs' perspective, has been Andy Reid. If you look at the dominance that the Chiefs have had in the division over the last 20-something games, man, that's not just dominance over Phillip Rivers. That's over the Broncos. Yeah. That's over the Raiders. The Chiefs have absolutely dominated this. I kind of remember we had this conversation earlier in the season when it was, at some point, the Chiefs had to take the mantle from the Broncos. Uh-huh. That the Broncos and Peyton Manning own the Kansas City Chiefs, and once the Chiefs finally beat the Broncos, they never look back, and they've gone on this run in the division. I'm not saying the same thing will happen here if the Chargers win, but at some point you got to prove it to us. Like every year in the Big 12, we have these conversations about Kansas State and Baylor. Dog, at some point another team got to win the Big 12 for me to think it's possible. I keep hearing how good the Chargers are, and you got Keenan Allen, and you got all these pieces. Man, at some point you got to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. This is your most recent time to do it. If you don't beat them this time, it will be 10 straight times.
Yeah.
5 years since you've beaten the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
It is impossible to pick the Chargers knowing that.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And on top of that, you've got a short week. I mean, you know, last year everybody made fun of me because I said I was worried about that Chiefs game out in LA or out in Oakland, against the Raiders. And they're like, what are you talking about, Fang? The Raiders suck and the Chiefs are rolling right now. Alex Smith's tearing it up. They're 5-0. Well, what are you doing? I'm like, well, it's a short week and they got to travel to the West Coast. And what happened? They lost. All right, so the Chargers are in a tough spot coming to Kansas City on a short week to be able to do this. And we'll get more into that later in the show on why that's so hard for a team to be able to do. But, yeah, I mean, the Chargers got my attention with the win over the Steelers. They can really get my attention if they come into Arrowhead on Thursday and take care of it.
Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll get to Fanning's fears about this game. But first, we'll catch up with our guy, Jay Binkley, who will join us to talk about the new K-State hire. And we'll talk about the defense. Is this a prove-it type game for the defense? Our guy, Jay Binkley, joins us next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive coming up in about 15 minutes. You guys won't believe this. Fanning is worried about the next Chiefs opponent. I know it's abnormal. That never happens.
It doesn't, yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. But we're very happy to be joined by our guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, how you doing, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing, man. Good to see you, big old hairy animal in studio. Good to see you again.
So are you my elf this year, by the way?
I'll be your elf, yeah, because we got our Christmas party tomorrow night. I'll be your elf.
I'm Santa Binkley again, so I need my elf.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I want to start with this. You're a big college football guy.
Absolutely.
What do you think of the hire of Chris Klieman to Kansas State?
I think it's a great hire for Kansas State. And I know K-State fans have been kind of on the fence on this. Like, they wanted this big splash. But
I don't really understand that part. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I kind of feel like every program that's not one of the major programs overvalues their job when it comes open. You got to think about who was in the running for the job. It was the coach at Memphis. It was the coach at North Texas. It was the coach at Troy and an FCS coach. That's kind of what your job is. I don't say that to demean Kansas State, but if your first two guys said no, and Seth Luttrell, you didn't get Neil Brown from Troy. Man, this is a good option. I like this hire for K-State.
I would have gone Klieman or Neil Brown. Or Troy Brown, or Neil Brown from Troy. Those are my two favorites because he's gone to Baton Rouge in one. He's gone to Lincoln in one. But here's the thing. Klieman develops better quarterbacks than Kansas State does. Carson Wentz, this year's quarterback, Easton Stick. This is a guy that's going to be drafted as a quarterback in the NFL this year. He's in the semifinals in FCS. He can add ring number four. Now, it is bad that he's still going to coach North Dakota State. Of course, he needs to, and it's loyalty to the program. But that championship game is not until January 6th. First signing day is December 19th, so some important dates for Kansas State coming up here. But the guy's a winner. Not only this guy beat Iowa State. This guy in 2016 beat Iowa, that was ranked number 13th in the country at the time. Now, don't forget, North Dakota State beat Kansas State back in 2013, but Craig Bohl was the coach, yeah. But Klieman was on that staff.
Here's the thing, too, that I like about him, and I was watching part of that Colgate game over the weekend when North Dakota State was playing in the playoffs, and they talked about how much he redshirts players and develops guys, because I feel like that's kind of what you got to do at K-State, because there's no way you're going to get them out in the middle of the Flint Hills to go out there and get these five-star recruits, and that's another reason why I like the hire.
Well, and here's the important thing, too. You know, I'm hearing from around here, he's got a great relationship with Kansas City area coaches. And see, that's important.
Why does he? How'd that come about?
Just because he recruits here.
Okay.
I mean, he had a running back from Lee Summit a few years ago that played with Drew Locke, and he went and played at North Dakota State. He's got a good relationship. So they like him. And they need that. Like, Kansas City needs it. That's what Les Miles is going to be battling as far as these coaches. I had Andy Sims in the other day, the day before a state title game he lost, Blue Valley North's coach, and he won last year. And he was telling me, like, Jim Harbaugh comes in his office, you know, khakis and everything.
Harbaugh owns Park Hill.
He won Graham Mertz. He's the best quarterback in the city. Urban Meyer's FaceTiming him. These are the things that Bill Snyder wasn't doing. And these are the things the kids need to do. Carson at William Crispin went to Texas. Mario Goodrich, the best cornerback in the city, went to Lee Summit West. Graham Mertz, the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, plays at Blue Valley North in the Kansas side. He's committed to Wisconsin. See, that's a problem. These guys aren't going to Kansas State. They're not going to Kansas. And to be honest with you, they're not going to Missouri either. Ronnie Bell, Simone Trophy winner at Park Hill. Michigan this year, already a couple touchdowns. Leading receiver from Wisconsin, Rockhurst.
First off, Bing, don't throw Missouri in the same problem recruiting-wise as Kansas and Kansas State.
But they're missing these guys, too.
We got our skill position, guys. Don't throw Missouri in this
conversation. You're missing these guys, too. That's the thing. And the local coaches do like Chris Klieman, and the thing is, he's a proven winner. He can do it on the defensive side. He recruits good in the Midwest. What does Kansas want? You bring in Seth Luttrell, guess what happens?
What?
Guess what happens? Lincoln Riley goes to the NFL, or maybe this year, next year. They bring in another coach at Oklahoma. Then he eventually bolts. Guess who they call? Seth Luttrell. This guy was a captain on the 2000 National Championship Oklahoma.
But
this is Roy Williams at Kansas. If he does well at Kansas State, he's going back to Oklahoma.
Why would this guy
is a permanent guy.
You're telling me that Chris Klieman, is a permanent guy at K-State?
I don't know. He seems like a type of guy that would be a Kansas State guy.
Okay.
I mean, he's been at North Dakota State forever, and Gene Taylor with his relationship. Gene Taylor was at North Dakota State for like 13 years,
although
that only overlapped 1 year with Klieman.
Right now we're talking to our guy, Jay Binkley. You can follow him on Twitter, at Three Guys in a Garage, and listen to him at night, Bink at Night. I heard you got issue with everybody hating on the no-look pass.
I do have issue with the no-look pass. This is who Pat Mahomes is. And do you remember last year when Derek Johnson was talking about at practice? And he brought it up several times. Mahomes would look one way and he'd throw the other. He said it threw our whole defense off. Because Mahomes would be looking one direction, throwing the other. This is what this guy does. And Don Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, when he talked last week, when he made the comparison of being Joe Montana for Pat Mahomes, but he also had a quote where he was talking about Pat Mahomes takes it into a backyard football game. And that's what he did. He will improvise if things aren't working out. And look at it. He was making DeMarcus Robinson look good. Last year, he got Albert Wilson a big contract for that last game in Denver. He can take some less talent and make them better, and that's what backyard football players do. But when you look one direction, linebackers and safeties watch the quarterback's eyes. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing defenders do. They look and see where the quarterback's looking. A lot of times they say the quarterback doesn't look off. He threw that interception because he didn't look off the corner. But if you're throwing across your body, I have no problem with it. This is who he is. This is what you got in Pat Mahomes. Do you like the 43 touchdown passes? Well, That's who he is. You don't want to rein him in.
How many energy drinks have you had today?
One.
Honest? Really? Because you feel like, I feel like it's a three energy drink day for you. Right,
I like
now.
The energy being. I mean, you're bringing right it now. Today. I'm certainly not you're, hating
you're
on the energy.
It. I just don't like the hating on the no look pass. What do people want? This game was
silly.
Beautiful.
No, it's. I mean, this is like the height of sports talk radio and sports media that like something really cool happens and we have to argue the other
pissed.
Side. No, it doesn't make any sense. Let me ask you this because we led the show with this. I'm finally at the end when it comes to me with the defense. I've heard from everybody. I've heard from Fanning. I've heard from listeners. I've heard from callers. Believe in the defense. The defense is getting better. Well, the defense hasn't played well against any good quarterback so far this season. You've got two more chances to show me that this defense is approved. You got Phillip Rivers on a short week. You got 10 days to prepare for Russell Wilson. If you get cooked in these games, man, I don't want to hear no more excuses. I'm done having these conversations. We've been having the same conversations for the last 6 weeks. You've shown me that you don't play well against good quarterbacks on the road. You've shown me that you can play well against bad quarterbacks at home. You've got a good quarterback at home. Play well in this game defensively, and I'm willing to reopen the conversation about this defense.
Yeah, they gave up 198 yards rushing. Here was the most concerning thing to me about the defense. They let ball, and I know Chiefs won the complete time of possession for the game, but that third quarter, they had the ball for 10 minutes and 36 seconds, the Ravens. You can't do that. You can't allow that if you're Chiefs defense. There was a drive where they ran eight straight times. This is something you can't have in January, you see that. You can't have Pat Mahomes sitting over there on the bench with Andy Reid and his play sheet and Tyreek Hill over there for 10 minutes and 36 seconds in a quarter. If Lamar Jackson was just a little bit more efficient, who knows what happens in that game, but they ran for 198 yards. Yes, they made a good stop. Justin Houston around the corner. That was great. Chris Jones has been a beast. And I know, last year's Super Bowl, we had
Kendall
one
Kendall Fuller made some really good plays.
But the Chiefs are going, they're going to be playing outdoor football. They're going to have to make some stops. The only team that can just try to outscore you in the postseason is the Saints if they get home field advantage because it's dome, and then it's dome for the Super Bowl. The Chiefs can air it out and get into a shooting match in the Super Bowl, but they've got to learn to stop somebody in the cold in January.
Here's my issue with it. I'll never say that the Chiefs' defense is a great defense. It's not. I mean, the majority of the time, it's not even a good defense. But they are what? 11-2? Am I doing my math right? 11-2 now? I don't care if this defense is great or really good. If they do enough to help you win the football game, I'm fine with it. That's all I care about. That's really it. So the discussion about are they great, are they good, is this defense bad or what is, I don't care. Just we know it's not good. We know there's holes in it. Just do enough to win the game, and you know what? They did it. Justin Houston came around and made a huge play when he absolutely had to. Butker missed the field goal, or that game was over in regulation.
You more worried about the defense or our kicker that's missed four extra points and keeps missing field goals?
Truthfully, right now, the kicker.
Yeah, that scared me, too. But these guys missed four extra points.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like how many times we see teams in other sports, they're bad at one part of their game, and they win, but they still win.
Well, the greatest point about this game.
The Houston Rockets, I mean, they were great last year. They were terrible defensively. I mean, so yeah. You can get to where you want to go with this defense. I guess that's my point with it.
The thing I like best is it was a slugfest. The Chiefs weren't a slugfest, and they won the slugfest. Now, the Chiefs have been into just scorefest, and they lost both of them. I mean, they lost the Patriots, lost to Rams, and these games that are just go out there and score as many points as you can.
But my Rams thing,
this
too,
was
big.
Brought down.
My Ram things, though, too, is they scored, 21 points off turnovers, and that's not on the defense. You know, that's the other part of that, too. That's why I cut the Chiefs a little bit of slack in that Rams game, especially defensively, because they did make plays. They forced turnovers. Hell, they even scored a touchdown
game. Yeah, but there's no excuse for 10 minutes and 36 seconds a team has the ball in the third quarter. That's got to change.
Well, I'm with you on that stuff,
You're not putting – the defensive job is putting Mahomes back on the field, and that didn't happen that quarter.
Baltimore
dumbed the game down, which I think any team that plays the Chiefs is going to dumb it down, just like Derrick Henry and the Titans. You know what they did that second half? 12 plays for Alex Smith. They dumbed it down, and that's what teams are going to do to the Chiefs.
As long as they do enough to keep them in the game and give them a chance to win, I got no problem with that. And the Chiefs defense did it against the Rams. Mahomes had the ball twice with, 2 minutes to go in the game? Inside of 2 minutes to go in the game, Justin Houston made a huge play against the Ravens on Sunday that gave him a chance to win in regulation. So, I mean...
Just limit the penalties. They lead the league in defensive holdings and stuff. Limit that stuff and stop giving free first downs.
That's our guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, real quick, what do you have up tonight?
Matt Lane, chief in Carolina. It's part of the Arrowhead Pride crew that you hear all the time. He's usually joining me on the phone. He lives in North Carolina. He'll be in studio tonight because he's in Kansas City. So he's in studio tonight. James Jones, the former wide receiver, will talk from NFL Network. We'll talk about, obviously, the Chiefs and Chargers this weekend, and I'll probably have a few more climbing
thoughts. You got Flanagan, too? You got
Jeff Flanagan from the winter meetings. Just real short, like, hey, what are the Royals doing?
Yeah.
They're not trading with. They're getting Billy Hamble. They're trying to lead the world in stolen bases.
Yeah.
That's our guy, Jay Binkley. Catch him tonight after us at Bink at Night. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in the pop quiz. But first, this might come as a shock to you. Fanning is worried about the Chiefs' next opponent. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, we're at the Community Blood Center on 4040 Main. I promise you this will be the last time we talk about this for the week, because this might be the worst text that we received in 2018, and that's saying a lot. Everyone who thinks that Mahomes' no-look pass was awesome can kiss my grits. It wasn't even that impressive. It's been done before. Take a cold shower. One thing that I've realized about the internet is it is filled with people that don't like cool things.
Yeah.
You know, like if you see Zion Williamson dunk, and your thing is, just 2 points, I don't want you around me. If you're somebody that has had a nice lemon pepper wing and you're like, it's okay, I don't want you around me because they're amazing. If you saw the throw from Patrick Mahomes to DeMarcus Robinson, you're like, I've seen that before. Stay as far away from me as possible. You don't like sports. You don't like cool things if that's your stance. You legitimately do not like cool things if your thing is, it wasn't even that impressive. I've seen somebody do that before. What? Okay, like, what are you talking about?
Okay, and who? And in an NFL game? Have you seen an NFL game against the best defense in the league?
I don't care if you've seen it 17 times. It was still incredibly cool when I saw it this time.
It was great.
It makes absolutely no sense. I'm telling you, the text line and the internet are just full of people that just don't like happiness. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let me read you this before we get into Fanning's worries. I thought it was going to be a little bit later in the week, but no, the Fanning worries came in hot and early on a Tuesday. So this is from courtesy of Eric Williams, who I believe is on the Chargers beat. Andy Reid said today that Sammy Watkins will struggle to make it on the field Thursday and that safety Eric Berry is day-to-day. Stop me if you heard that before.
Wait a minute. Eric Berry's day-to-day?
Day-to-day. Reid also said that Spencer Ware is day-to-day and he will see how he responds to the injury up until Thursday. Andy Reid also said that Tyreek Hill is moving around all right and should be okay to play on Thursday against the Los Angeles Chargers. I would be concerned about the the quick turnaround, especially this late in the season. This is not a Thursday night game on week 3 where your body is still a little bit fresh. Man, everybody is banged up and beat up at this point in the season. Where I would feel good if you're a Chiefs fan, it sounds like the injury fate is on your side. It sounds like Tyreek Hill is going to be able to give it a go. I think you already knew that Sammy Watkins was not going to be able to give it a go. It sounds like Eric Berry is going to see action for the first time this season in the NFL. Spencer Ware sounds like he's going to be able to go. I don't know if that's the case on the other side. I'm not expecting Melvin Gordon to play in this game on Thursday. I'm not expecting Austin Eckler to play in this game on Thursday. So the injury bug would be on your side in this matchup, in my opinion.
Well, the other part, the other thing that they have on their side is the travel part of this deal. I mean, that's the other part of it. I mean, I just saw some video of Tyreek Hill at practice today. No helmets for the guys, and that right ankle is heavily taped, but he was running and walking without a limp. So I think he's going to be fine. The Melvin Gordon thing's an issue for the Chargers, too, plus you're losing a day. Remember the whole deal with Reggie Ragland, too? You know, he had that swollen knee, was flying in town. All right, well, if you follow my guy Aaron Borgman.
They clearly were lying about that.
Well, maybe, but when you fly, I mean, it does affect your body. I mean, like, stuff swells, you get dehydrated. It's something the trainers and teams have to worry about. And according to my guy Aaron Borgman, the former trainer of the Chiefs and the Eagles, he's now a contributor for Arrowhead Pride. I'm going to read you something that he wrote when it comes to these Thursday night games and the short turnaround. He said, plain and simple, this is the most important part of the week. He's talking about early part of the week. It's always critical, but this week is paramount. A player who suffers any kind of significant injury on Sunday preceding most likely will not play in an upcoming Thursday game. So I maybe differ with you a little bit, C-Dot, on the Spencer Ware thing, because he had the whatever the hell was going on the top of his body when he went down. It looked like it was a shoulder, and then he also had the hamstring. So I'm worried about him. Borgman goes on to say, the time frame just is not long enough. Players who make it through the game healthy have a tough enough time making it. By Tuesday afternoon, you typically know who's going to make it and who won't. It's Tuesday afternoon. I think Tyreek Hill plays. I'm doubtful on Spencer Ware playing based on the injuries that he suffered. And I don't feel good about Eric Berry. If they're still saying day-to-day and it's Tuesday afternoon and the game is on Thursday.
I just feel like they're always going to say that about
Eric. I know, but I don't feel good about that at all. So I'm just not buying it. I mean, the thing the Chiefs have on their side on this whole deal is that, again, they don't have to travel. They got an extra week to stay here, to get their fluids, to do as much as you possibly can.
I'm surprised because all year you've maintained that you thought Barry was going to play in this game against the Giants.
I am, but I'm not. But I'm getting to the point now where I'm not buying it. I mean, I really believe that if he came back and he practiced and he had, 2 weeks of practice and ready to go, he would see some time in the game against the Ravens. And he didn't. And now he's day-to-day. I mean, they're saying the same things that they've been saying when he doesn't go on the field.
I believe Schefter when it comes to this. I mean, Schefter and Lockett Four have been as plugged in on this as anybody else. I mean, Schefter said before Sunday's game he thought Eric Berry was going to play. And Schefter's not somebody that makes these kind of things.
I'm with you. I mean, this is the date that I targeted, too, was this game. I thought this would be the perfect game. I didn't think he'd play against the Ravens initially because it was such a quick turnaround to get to the Charger game, but he'd been practicing for 2 weeks. So I'm like, hey, maybe they want to get him back in there, you know, and then have him fully ready to go against the Chargers. But they're saying the same thing. So I don't know. I don't think it's gamesmanship from the Chiefs. I don't think they know if he's going to play or not. I really don't believe that they know. And this is a tough week. It's a quick turnaround for everybody. So
not for Barry, though.
Well, not for Barry, for sure. But, I mean, would 2 weeks of practice not have been ready to go for him if he could have gone?
I guess I'm just not buying really into the day-to-day. They just say that all the time with Barry. I do agree with you on this. It's not normal for your body to go through football games anyway. Like, your body was not made to go through the repeated car crashes that you go through in a football game. It's even more abnormal to do that Sunday at 2 o'clock and then turn around and try to do it Thursday night. Like, your body just needs, I'd say, typical recovery time, and then you factor in where we are in the end of the season. It's just not a normal thing to do. So I'm with you when it comes to the injuries. I think we're starting to need like some scary music when it comes to this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stunned that the game against the 10-3 Los Angeles Chargers is one that has you worried. I mean, I thought this was going to be a walk in the park.
Well, I mean, it does, and I think just because of the short week, that's the part that concerns me. And I think, and I've got nothing to base this on other than the fact that Chargers are better than I thought they were. They've been damn good on the road. They won at Pittsburgh, and sooner or later they're going to beat the Chiefs. I mean, that streak has got to end at some point, right? I mean, the Chiefs have beaten them 9 in a row. This is maybe the best Charger team they've had in a long, long time.
Are you picking them?
Not picking them, but because,
well, then you don't believe it. Then,
no, but I'm scared. This game does scare me a little bit.
I mean, it should scare you.
I'm not picking the Chargers to win this game. Not if they don't have Melvin Gordon, they don't have Eckler in there, and the game's at Arrowhead, and they got to travel all the way from the West Coast. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, I just think that they're going to cause some problems for the Chiefs. I mean, no Sammy. I think we can agree on that. I don't feel good about Spencer Ware. Not one injury, two injuries. You know, he had a hamstring and he had the shoulder injury, so I don't feel good about that. So that means you're down to, the Williams guys and Charkandrick West in the backfield. So that bothers me a little bit. You can get by with no Sammy and Spencer Ware back there. I got no problem with that. But now you're going another rung down on the running back. No Sammy Watkins. Tyreek's a little bit banged up. It's a short week. So, yeah, it does scare me.
I mean, the Chargers are in the exact same thing. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing to be worried about with this game. Again, I mean, these are two of the best, I would say, six teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
So the Chargers are certainly more than capable. This game for me is just going to be a very, very, very simple thing. The Chargers haven't proven it to me yet, so I'm going to side with the Chiefs. If we're doing tail of the tape like it's boxing, who do I think's the better coach team? I think it's the Chiefs.
Of course.
Who has the better quarterback in this situation? Yeah. I think it's the Chiefs. Who's at home in this? I would even argue that the Chiefs are the healthier team out of the two.
Yeah.
Given the fact of you're not going to have your two starting running backs, some of the injuries we know about the Chargers, I think the Chiefs, even with their injuries, are the healthier team in this. I think they're going to get the extra boost when it comes to Eric Berry. It's a night game at Arrowhead. The Chargers just got to prove to me, and you got to factor in Thursday night football. You got to factor in that road teams are 3-10 this season on the road. Excuse me. There's just no reason to believe the Chargers are going to win this just based on the peripherals. Not saying they can't win.
Yeah.
There's just nothing I would say in the numbers. There's no stat that I can find. Man, that's where the Chargers have the advantage. I don't think they have it against the Chiefs, especially not in this environment.
I would have been totally on board with you on that. Except the Chargers were down 16 on the road at Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago and came back and won that football game.
I can't believe you're letting yourself talk yourself into the Chargers. No, after all season, you told me not to believe in them. Now you're starting to believe in them.
Well, that's because they went on the road and they beat Pittsburgh. And they were down 16 at the half on the road in Pittsburgh and came back and won that game. That's not what the old Chargers did. That's not what those guys do. They fold like a chair. They fold big time. And the Chargers didn't do that down big at halftime against the Steelers on the road. And this team has been a really good road team. So, I think it's going to be a tougher game than we give it credit for. If they didn't go and beat Pittsburgh the way they did, then I'd have a completely different opinion about this game. So I think it's going to be a fight, man. I don't think this, the Tyreek thing, he's not 100%. I'm sure he'll be 100% for the game, and then hopefully give him 10 days off and that ankle will be fine. But, man, again, the Pittsburgh game to me is what started to change my opinion about the Chargers, because before that I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's the little brother in the AFC West. You always beat them. They never beat you. You'll take care of them. You can show up with your B-plus game, B game, B-minus game, and you're going to win that game against the Chargers. But the Chargers got my attention by beating Pittsburgh.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks. As today we're doing a special pop quiz, is Nick's favorite movie. We'll tell you what his favorite movie is, and we'll all take a minute, and we'll get to, there's a new coach in town. We'll talk about it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll talk about Kansas State's new head coach, the replacement for Bill Snyder. Hopefully it goes a lot better than the last time, because the last time, it didn't go so hot for K-State. We'll also talk about you having a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks. All you got to do is keep it locked in. Today's pop quiz is our producer Nick's favorite movie. That is today's pop quiz. We'll play that for you coming up in just a bit. In about 15 minutes, I have a question to ask you guys about the Kansas City Chiefs offense. I'm sure I'll be called Buzz Killington, but you know what? I kind of like being called Buzz Killington. Without further ado, Nick, let's get to my minute. Sometimes I sit in my room at night and I think, we are not worthy of one LeBron James. Like, the human being that he is on the basketball court, the human being that he is off the court, us mere mortals are not worthy. The latest edition of LeBron James is better than you and me happened Saturday night in Memphis. There was a woman who has been a longtime LeBron fan, and I'll let him tell you the story, Nick.
The game, and she looked kind of worked up. What happened there? In your
I think she's one of the ball girls here. Every year I've come here, she's always worn a very exclusive pair of my shoes, and I've always noticed it. I've never said anything to her, and tonight I said something to her for the first time, and she was like, "Yeah, I've always been Team LeBron, always." So she got a pair of LeBrons.
So LeBron James saw this girl was a ball girl for the Memphis Grizzlies, saw she was a fan of his kicks, gave her a pair of his game-worn shoes, took them off, and just handed them to her. The girl then went on Memphis television and said that she was offered $100,000 for those shoes, but said, "I'm keeping them. This is a special moment to me, and I want to preserve it." Example 1,971, that LeBron James is just a better person than you and I. That's my minute for the day.
Are you in love with LeBron? I think
he's amazing.
Yeah, he is pretty
I great. Think he's the greatest athlete of my generation.
He's phenomenal. I mean, I don't think you come up with one better than that, can you?
I don't think you can.
No.
I mean, not if you combine everything. Like,
yeah.
Brady's a better on-the-field player than he is, but if you factor in everything, LeBron's the athlete of my generation.
Nick, can I get a minute, please? I'm going to keep harping on this until everybody in Kansas City hears me say this. Patrick Mahomes is maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, in part because he played baseball. All right? Look at the arm angles. Look at the creativeness. Look at all the things that he does, and it's a lot of it has to do with playing baseball. So this is what I want, the message that I want to get across. And I'm going to say it, and you're going to think, Fanning, you're crazy. But what I mean by this, doesn't mean your kid's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but he is a perfect example of why every single kid should play multiple sports. All right? I don't think Mahomes is the quarterback that he is now if he didn't play baseball or he didn't play other sports in school. I mean, think about what happens when you play multiple sports. You got less burnout on the sport that you play all the time. You use different muscle groups. I mean, my stepson played soccer his sophomore year. By the time baseball season rolled around, he was running like a gazelle, running down everything in the outfield and stealing bags. Fitness was terrific. You don't get a lot of that fitness workout when you're playing baseball all the time. You're dealing with different team members, different personalities. You're going to experience different coaching styles from sport to sport. Now, again, just because you play multiple sports doesn't mean you're going to turn out to be the best quarterback in the NFL. But right now, it just like look, the creativeness that he has, that Mahomes has right now playing the quarterback position, would not happen if all he did was play football growing up. And I know he's genetically gifted and all that stuff. But if he just had a quarterback guru coach and he sat there and worked on his five-step drop and worked on his mechanics, he wouldn't be throwing no-look passes. He wouldn't be throwing from like 15 different arm angles. He wouldn't be throwing flat-footed. That's the stuff that baseball players do. It's the thing that I hate about U Sports right now. It's the kids, if they want to play one specific sport, you've got to be so sport-specific to be able to make the team. And I think it's the worst thing about U Sports right now. Again, I'm not saying you turn into Mahomes if you play multiple sports growing up because he's a genetic freak, but it certainly has helped him get to the point where he is, and I think baseball is one of the biggest reasons why he's the most exciting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't disagree with you, but I feel like we have to maybe emphasize the genetic part of he's like he had a greater chance of being a great athlete because his dad was a great
That's
athlete.
Part of it.
Like
Absolutely.
Steph Curry had a chance to make the NBA just based on half of his genetic DNA was an all-time great basketball player. Same thing for Klay Thompson. The like I don't want to discredit that part of it. Like, man, your kid can go out there and play football and basketball and baseball and all that stuff. Like, he's got your genetics in it, you know? Like that really factors into it.
I get it, but there's other parts of it too. Again, and the genetic part, like Mahomes won the genetic lottery, okay? I mean, he has for sure, but again, from a youth sports aspect and from a parental aspect, when you talk to your kids, man, it's great to be around kids that are different instead of playing with the same kids all the time with the same coach, man. That's not what real life is about. You go out there, maybe you got a hard-ass coach, maybe you got an understanding coach in a different sport, maybe you got a couple of kids that come from different backgrounds than you. You get to meet all these different people, and it's good for you, and especially when you go into school. If you're lucky enough to go play a sport in college, you're going to deal with kids from different backgrounds, different parental situations, different everything. I would just encourage you, if you can, to play multiple sports instead of specializing when you're 9 years old. Like we see all the time. Man, we got workouts. We got pitch camp. We got hitting lessons. We got this. We got that. When you can be playing another sport using different muscle groups. So, again, Mahomes is a freak of nature. Don't get me wrong. My point behind this is that there's no way that he's the quarterback he is today if he didn't play baseball growing up.
Nick, go ahead, man.
All right, guys. I know that Fanning is scared about this game coming up on Thursday night.
A little scared.
A little scared. I want to share my personal opinion of this. Yes, it's the most talented Chargers team that we've seen in a while, right?
But not much.
Well, you know. But the Chargers, though, and particularly Phillip Rivers, struggle in Arrowhead. I mean, I remember being at that game when he fumbled the crazy fumble that came out of nowhere when they were just trying to take a knee, run out the ball,
worst
whatever.
Worst day ever.
Yeah, right. Worst day ever. Not to mention, I mean, the Baltimore Ravens just showed the rest of the NFL the kind of the blueprint for beating the Chiefs, running the ball, controlling the time of possession. But the Chargers are most likely going to be without Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. So am I a little nervous? Sure. But I see this game going how it always does with the Chiefs coming out on top and locking up home field advantage for the playoffs this Thursday night. That's my minute, guys.
That's our guy, Nick. We will the pop quiz today will be his favorite movie. The winner will get a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. We'll talk about the Chiefs offense coming up in just a bit. I want to get back into this K-State coaching hire a little bit. Is I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to belittle K-State in the program that you are. I got all the respect in the world for K-State. You're not my enemy. If this was KU, I might be taking some shots, but I got no issues with K-State. But I am a firm believer, and believe me, I've seen it with my Missouri Tigers when we've had various coaching hires. Your job is only as good as the candidates you attract when it's open. Everybody thinks they have a great job. Everybody thinks, oh, man, we can get so-and-so. And when that job's open and then your AD starts to make the search, or your coaching firm goes out there and tries to find a coach, that's when you see what people really think about the opening that you have. Kansas State took the shot. Like, I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and they were like, we wanted a young up-and-coming coach. We're trying to find our Matt Campbell. Man, so is everybody. Everybody's trying to find the 38-year-old up-and-coming coach who could be the next big thing. Matt Campbell can coach in the NFL at some point. Everybody's trying to find Matt Campbell.
Yeah.
That's a really hard thing to find. Man, sometimes you got to take a Chris Klieman. I don't say that negatively. I think he could be a good coach. I think you got to give him a year, maybe 2 years, to kind of get his feet under him because he is taking a big jump in level consistently. We're not talking about one game against Iowa. I'm talking about you got a game against Oklahoma, then you got a game against Texas, then you got to travel to Kansas, who we think is going to be better. Like, it's going to be an adjustment period. I think the guy can coach, and I think you and I are on the same page when it comes to this. I think if you coach at a university like Kansas State, you got to do more with less.
Yeah.
And you got to understand that you're not going to finish top 50 on Rivals when it comes to recruiting. Like, 19-year-old kids are not jumping over themselves to go to Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
So you got to take 2-star kids, 3-star kids, cast off some other universities, and you got to put them all in that melting pot and make it work. And he showed you he can do that at that level. So I think it's a good hire for Kansas State. I was surprised yesterday to see on social media how split it was.
Well, that's because nobody knows who the guy is for the most part, right? I mean, Chris Klieman, a household name. You know, if you're not a hardcore college football person, of course he's not. I mean, you said it, C-Dot. I mean, K-State's in the middle of nowhere. It's out in the Flint Hills. It's an agriculture school. It's not – there are no palm trees out there, man. I mean, that's not how it works. You're in the middle of freaking nowhere for the most part. So you've got to go out there and basically do what Iowa State did. You got to do what Snyder did. Snyder was smart when he took over that job because he knew – He had to go to the JUCOs and get the guys that the big schools were scared to get. He had to go find diamonds in the rough and develop those guys and redshirt them. And guess what Chris Klieman did at North Dakota State?
Same thing.
He found guys that were maybe a second too slow, an inch too short, and 10 pounds too light. And he redshirted them, and he turned them into great football players. And that's essentially what Bill Snyder did at K-State. Raided the JUCOs and developed players. And went after the guys that the big schools didn't want. And he turned that program into a big-time winner. I think it's a perfect fit for them. Now, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if Chris Klieman's going to come in here and win and dominate at K-State and be as successful as Bill Snyder was. I'm not sure if that's even possible.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be as successful as Bill Snyder. Some people think Bill Snyder's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, but, I mean, can he come in here and get some wins and do it the right way? I think his philosophy of coaching and what he did at North Dakota State can work at Kansas State, and that's the biggest thing because, you know, every job is not the same. I mean, do you think Nick Saban really has to do a whole hell of a lot of recruiting? You think he's on the road a ton? I mean, Alabama, for the most part, Ohio State, Michigan, schools like that, that recruits themselves. You get a letter from Nick Saban in Alabama, that gets your attention. But Chris Kleiman's going to have to go out and bust it. He's going to have to bust his hump to go out and turn that two-star kid into a four-star by the time he's a junior. I think it's a perfect hire for K-State.
Pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. Today's pop quiz is our producer Nick's favorite movie. Nick, take it away.
You look like a future pedophile in this picture, number one. Number two, it doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
I mean, I didn't think you were going to pick the most obvious clip from the movie for the pop quiz. But, hey, I'm not one.
I want people to win. I want to give away this $25 gift card.
That's like one of the 15 most popular movies of its time. I think people would have known what the pop quiz was. So be caller number 6, 913-576-7610. Caller number 6 won $25 to Twin Peaks if you know that movie. Coming up, I've got a question to ask you guys about the Chiefs offense. I have a feeling I'll be called Buzz Killington. It's a drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.